From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of February 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Gary Schnitke called me this morning. He has some interesting news about crop insurance and the volatility index as it relates to price. You'll want to stick around to hear from him about that. And we'll review some of the things that both Kurt Kimmel and Minnesota ag economist Ed Usett talked about yesterday. It'll be in relationship to what we hear from Gary Schnitke today. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. A lot of winter weather coming through the Midwest. It's going to get cold. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will tell us about that on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures finished the day at $5.43 in the March contract. That was down 6.25 for this Tuesday. The May futures at $5.42 down 6.25. And December contract, new crop, down 0.75 at $4.47 a bushel. The March soybeans at $13.54 10.5 lower. The May at $13.50 down 11.75. And November soybeans, 3.5 cents lower at $11.50. The bean meal at $4.28 down $2.50. The bean oil $44.32 down 65 cents. Wheat soft red contract at $6.44 6.25 lower, and the hard red down 6.25. It finished at $6.19 a bushel. Taking a quick look at what's happened in the livestock sector, the nearby live cattle at $115.97.5, $1.10 higher. The feeder cattle for the day in the March at $139.12.5, up $1.20, and lean hogs at $71.55, $2 higher on the day. Now, the winter meeting season is here. Most of that is happening virtual, at least certainly from the university and many other places. And I've been hosting and moderating a series of webinars. You can catch us up on the cropping conservation webinar that'll wrap up on Thursday morning. If you'd like to learn more about that and see some links to those that have already taken place, you can do that. And you can still register. In fact, on our website, you'll scroll down till you get to the calendar. And when you're there, just open it up and there'll be a link if you hit the link for the conservation cropping seminar on Thursday morning of this week. And same day, instead of at 9 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, the Farm Doc Daily winter meeting season kicks off this week. Nick Paulson and Jonathan Kappas, as well as Randy Tillman from FSA, will be talking about the commodity title choices for 2021. That's the ARC PLC decisions. And then the following week, Gary Schnitke and Bruce Sherrick will be here. More crop insurance then. Acreage decisions the week after that. And we'll continue on with some final issues before planting on the 25th, and looking at crop insurance again on the 4th with Nick Paulson and Bruce Sherrick and Gary Schnitke, and we'll wrap that up on March the 11th. These on Thursday, but you can get yourself scheduled for these. They're free. Just register online. You can look at the Farm Docs page, but it might be just as easy to go to willag.org and click on those webinar links that are down in the events and calendar section. Just open them up and you'll find a way to get yourself registered. They're all free. Now let's talk about what happened in Chicago today. We're joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne, I've been busy doing lots of work throughout the day today and thinking about what I've got coming up for emceeing and moderating, and I didn't get a chance to look at the marketplace until we got started here, but it was 6 lower in the corn and 11 cents lower in the beans. Why was that the case?
Well, they were down a little bit today. A couple things, as we can sort of put them in order, is the funds are just taking a little bit of profits right now. Part of that, the reason is that they think that there's been no Chinese announcements this week. We were up very sharply last week on the Chinese sales or purchases or sales to China. That way, the dollar has been rallying, and that takes us a little bit out of being quite as favorable. They're looking at that. And a lot of people are talking about the USDA. They think that there's a good possibility that they might punt on this one. They've been so farmer-friendly in their reports. And we don't really know. I mean, it's awful hard to say what that yield is going to be in South America. They might leave it alone and not talk because they have got some rains, and they might not lower it as a lot of people are expecting on their yields that way, and looking at how that's going to go. And they might not change what they don't lower the yields there. They might not change our ending stocks, and that would leave the stocks-to-use ratio higher than what a lot of guys are thinking it might be if they would lower those numbers. So that's a little bit of what the overview was. But, you know, today the funds did sell about 8,000 contracts of beans and about 5,000 contracts of corn. So that was a little bit heavy on things today.
Yeah, so the expectation there is that in the February, I believe it's the 9th, USDA WASD, that they would not change potentially, and this is the thought process, yields out of South America. And of course, we'll have some CONAB numbers, if I remember correctly, by then too, although I haven't looked when they're releasing theirs, but they should be updated. And if they don't change the yields, they also might not go in and change the export numbers, or are they thinking that the export figures might be changed for corn and soybeans?
Well, if South America has good crops, why ours might not go up to the same degree, because we're thinking we would take some of that business as South America didn't have it, and China might continue to come to us, or the rest of the world is what was going. You know, today we had an announcement out of Mexico. That's a routine one, but let's not boo-hoo that one. Mexico is our biggest we export more corn to Mexico than any other country.
Anything that producers are asking you more often than not, and I would suspect, about new crop prices and what they should do or maybe not do?
You know, I'll be very honest. Most of the farmers are either hauling corn that they sold a couple weeks ago and finally there's a chance to haul it, or sitting back and scratching their head and saying, I sold too early last year and I'm not going to talk a lot about it this year. I think with the volatility in this market, we think that a lot of the farmers should be considering, you know, an option strategy, something maybe with a put underneath things that could give them a little confidence to hang on and see what really, if we can get the rally that some of them are talking about, you know, they know what they've got invested and they don't have to make margin calls and go on. And if it does back up a little bit, why, they've got a floor in this thing. You know, we've got the month of February now sets the crop insurance price. That's going to give them a little better idea to what their bottoms or what they can insure as to make and make a profit this year. But, you know, that's 26 days away from being where we're at and what it's going to be.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke now joins us, agricultural economist from the U of I. Gary, thanks for being with us. We kicked off yesterday the crop insurance setting month of February, and I know you've been watching the marketplace. Is there any indication this February will be much different than those of the past?
Yeah, well, there are two things. One is that, again, we're using the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the February settlement prices to set the projected price, and they're going to be higher this year than last year, unless they will be higher. Let's just go that way. And just to give you an example, last year's projected price on corn was $3.88. Yesterday's closing price was $4.88, so that's a dollar higher. So, and the other thing, though, that's happening is that the volatilities, which enter into crop insurance premium setting, are much higher this year than last year. Last year's volatility was 0.15. Yesterday's volatility was 0.24. which is considerably higher. We aren't setting that volatility yet. That will happen at the end of February, but if those come into being, we're going to have much higher crop insurance premiums this year compared to last year.
Do you have an example?
So, yes, but I do. So, McLean County example, typical farm, it has 198 trend-adjusted APH yield, 388 and 15, 388 projected price, 0.15 volatility, what it was last year, would have resulted in a $12.70 premium at an 85% coverage level RP. 1270 goes up to 26 27, or, you know, more than doubling if we have a 488 price and a 0.24 volatility. And most of that is going up because of the volatility increases. Again, we're not setting volatilities yet, but we're at this point, you would be saying that they're going to be much higher this year compared to last year.
And the volatility is based on what? Can you explain what that input is?
So the volatilities are basically the based on premiums on put and call options on that December corn contract. They're much higher this year. People are bidding more for those put and call products. And what that is simply saying is that there's just a lot more uncertainty in the market, and there's a higher chance of much lower prices then as well, and higher prices for that matter. But there's just a lot more uncertainty about where market prices are compared to last year.
And so at this point, if prices remain as high as they are, in particular for old crop corn compared to new crop corn, and producers are trying to protect a price, they're likely to want to use a put option. And we discussed that on our radio program yesterday with Kurt Kimmel and with Ed Ussett from the University of Minnesota. So the whole thing sort of works in concert with what farmers and others are doing at the Chicago Board of Trade. So volatility may very well stay high. And you say that it makes up the bulk of the price difference between what last year and this year looks like?
Yeah. So last year, and again, I'm giving you an example, our P85% product, last year that would have been $12.70. This year would be $26.27 with a projected price of $4.88 and volatility at 0.24. If we had the same volatility as last year and had that projected price, the RP premium would only go up to $16 per acre. So $10 more because of volatility increases.
Does it do anything to the ECO?
It does the same thing to ECO. So last year, ECO wasn't available last year.
There's no comparison for ECO last year.
Well, yeah, we can say that for a 388 price and a 15 volatility, a 90% ECO product would cost $6.44. At a 488.24, it cost $11.90. So it goes up roughly double. A little less than double.
Yeah, so sticker shock is what you're trying to tell producers to be aware of as they make their way through the month of February and are considering crop insurance options.
Yeah, and I guess I would still think you want to stay at a pretty high coverage level because you can protect a large part of the revenue, or, you know, much, much higher values this year than last year. And the volatility would say that there's quite a bit of chance of lower prices as well. So the two sort of combine.
Right. So, you know, you look at locking in a higher price at 90 or 95% of total coverage, but it's going to cost.
It's going to cost. And again, we're looking that that volatility and the put premiums say that there's much more that there's a higher chance of lower prices at the end of the year than usual.
Is there a way online, and I don't know whether this is in the calculator, but maybe it is, that we can follow along with the volatility in kind of the same way we're able to just look at the daily price and have a running average through the month of February?
Yeah, and again, volatility is only set during the last part of February, the last 5 days.
Oh.
So we're not there yet. But if you go to the RMA website, they do report volatilities throughout the month of February as well as the projected price.
All right. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Gary Schnitke. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Now, on that note, just a reminder, I'll take you back to yesterday afternoon during the closing market report when we talked to agricultural economist Ed Ussett from the University of Minnesota about the current inverse in both the corn and the soybeans, how large it is, meaning nearby or old crop corn and soybeans, much higher price than the fall delivery or new crop prices, and that farmers are holding off, probably, on cash sales, potentially at this point, in hopes that, you know, the price will go higher. And his look back over time suggested that in the bulk of the years, more than 90% for both corn and soybeans, prices were much lower by the time we got to fall when there were big inverses than normal. There are only a couple times that that didn't happen. 2012 for corn, just once since 1980. And for soybeans, on the years that he looked at, 14 of them, there were two. They were 1996 and 2003. And as we closed out our conversation, Ed Ussett had this little tidbit about options for producers.
Yeah. And by the way, if your listeners have a feeling of dread that, yes, this guy is talking about selling new crop grain, but this is the drought year, well, I suggest you look at options and option strategies that don't lock you in.
So there's Ed Ussett from the University of Minnesota talking about potentially much lower prices for corn and soybeans in the fall and protecting against that by using options. As it happened, Kurt Kimmel yesterday from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, gave us an option strategy that might work.
Oh, you bet. There's some conservative strategies that take place. The thing is, what happens is it's human nature. Whenever you sell something, you see the value of that go up after you sold it. It's kind of frustrating. Same thing if you buy something, you thought you got a good buy, and the value goes down. Well, producers sold out of old crop, and the market moved higher, and that still sets in their mind, I sold maybe too soon. New crop sales are only 5 to 7% complete from the producer's point of view, so therefore they're in a holding pattern. So what do you do here? What do we do here to have some sales on but be able to take advantage of an up move? There's all kinds of complex strategies out there, but we're sticking with the same strategy we have over the years: is to put a price floor in. Get a put option floor under you. That way, if the market rolls over, you got that downside protection. But if it goes up, you can still take advantage of selling your cash grain higher, because we don't know how many bushels you're going to have. We got a lot of weather to go through, but we don't want the apple cart to tip over here and have the thing go backwards on us. We feel we got a good 30 days to get that job done. So sit down for one of the good analysts on your programs, Todd. A lot of them's got some good ideas on how to put that price floor in to protect your downside, but leave your upside open.
So while I'm not certain about this, it seems to me that in order to keep the volatility from moving sharply higher, it would be best either to put the options in place prior to those 5 days or after those 5 days. I'll need to check with one of the agricultural economists to see if that's really the case, but it does make some sense to me. I'll do that, and we'll get back to you here on the Closing Market Report with an answer. Don Day is now here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Don, I think I'd like to stay here in the United States, but first, thanks for being with us. I sure do appreciate that.
Good to be here.
Well, tell me about the winter storm that plowed across the United States over the last several days and whether it's really changed anything in the western part of the United States from California through the wheat-growing regions.
Well, certainly the system that has been affecting the Mid-Atlantic and parts of the Northeast, and the same system that went through the middle part of the country, was what was left of a storm that rolled through California late last week and brought the best rain and mountain snows they've seen in weeks. So that was good news for them. What is evolving with this pattern that has gotten a little more active and certainly a more like winter is that a lot of the really cold air that's been on the other side of the globe, over Siberia, China, northern parts of Asia. It's taken a while, but it's migrated over the pole and is now into the U.S. and Canadian side. Now, right now, the really cold air is locked up Hudson Bay, the north slope of Alaska. But as this mid-Atlantic storm moves out, the jet stream is going to be altering itself and allowing the door to open to Canada and the Arctic. Now, this is something that we really haven't seen yet this winter. So the coldest air of the season to date will be moving into the Northern Plains, the Corn Belt, and the Great Lakes, and part of the western United States here over the next 5 to 7 days.
Now, when you say open the door, it literally comes across the polar cap, and then sort of the door swings open. And am I right that the Rocky Mountains keep it heading westward, or eastward rather, rather than backing up into the west so that the Californias, maybe the Oregons and Washingtons, I'm not quite sure about that, but that they don't get nearly as cold and it sort of spills out into the middle part of the United States?
That's right. The Continental Divide does a really big job in basically acting as a dam, because Arctic air is dense, it's heavy, it's going to be like water, it's going to go to the lowest point. So a lot of times that Arctic air can't get over the divide, so it does tend to funnel it into the north central and central areas of the United States, and that's exactly the setup that we see developing. As early as Saturday morning, we're going to see sub-zero temperatures across Minnesota, North Dakota, parts of Iowa, maybe even Chicago by Saturday morning is going to be flirting with sub-zero temperatures, and that cold air is going to have a free flow from the Northwest Territories all the way into the nation's midsection. So folks need to be prepared for the coldest weather of the year. You know, it took till February to get here, but it's going to be here, and it does look like it's going to be around for a while.
How cold, when, and where?
Well, first of all, those northern plain states will feel the effects of this Arctic air first this weekend. The Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all the way back into Montana, parts of the northern Rockies, where we see the really cold air spilling on in is going to be into the early parts of next week. And there's a lot of indication that we're going to see temperatures that will be going below zero or at least single digits pretty far south into the central Corn Belt. And we see, you know, perhaps south of Interstate 80 by this weekend, sub-zero temperatures and near sub-zero temperatures, or at least the single digits, will go well into Monday, Tuesday, and even Wednesday of next week.
Usually behind those cold fronts, there's not much snow. Is there anything in front of it as it passes through?
Yeah, we certainly can expect to see some snows. Now, since we're going to see the system coming in out of the very dry prairie provinces of Canada, it won't bring a lot of moisture with it. Now, that being said, we're going to see some lake effect snows, and we're also going to see what should be moderate amounts of snowfall over parts of the northern, central, eastern Corn Belt, northwest areas of the Corn Belt. There is going to be some snow associated with this as well. So we're getting everything. We're not only going to get the Arctic air, but there's going to be some snows. The heavier snows will favor the northwest areas of the Corn Belt and the Great Lakes.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you about it again next week.
Stay warm.
You too. That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and helped us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.